Brother Burton Brown from Los Angeles, California will serve us. Brother Burton's topic is the anointing which ye have received. Brother Burton.
Thank you, Brother Michael. Brethren, we want to bring to you the love and greetings of your brethren in Los Angeles, devoted to extend their love to you. And it's a privilege to be able to be here this year. We have many experiences in our lives, and those experiences can keep us away from conventions at times, but it's always a joy to be able to be with the brethren and to fellowship with those of like precious faith. The lesson this afternoon that we're going to consider is that found in the first epistle of John. And in the second chapter of this epistle, we find that John speaking, or the Heavenly Father through the Apostle John, is speaking to us, he says, as little children. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And then one of the things that he asks us to do and to have a privilege in is to have fellowship with him. When he says in the first chapter, in the third verse, that we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful fellowship that we have with our Heavenly Father and with his Son. And the reason for that is because of the works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Apostle tells us in the 27th verse of the second chapter the reason that we have this fellowship, when he says, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. In Psalms, the 133rd chapter, which has been already referred to in the convention, Psalmist is telling us about a wonderful anointing. When he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he tells us why we have that unity. It's because it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. It says the dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings of life forevermore. And as Brother Ernie mentioned, this dew of heaven that comes down from out the mountains of Hermon is an invigorating dew, invigorates the parched ground, gives life because of the dew, which is a moisture or the water of truth. And then in Leviticus, the 8th chapter, we read also that Moses took of this anointing oil in the 10th verse, and he not only anointed Aaron, but he anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And we all know what sanctification is. It's being set apart for the holy purpose of God. And so it was that this typical tabernacle was sanctified. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all the vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. It's interesting that this oil was poured upon Aaron's head. It was poured on Aaron, but as we read later on in this 8th chapter, it was only sprinkled upon the underpriest. There are two important distinctions that are made in the case of the high priest, and that is that Aaron was anointed before all the sacrifices were made. The underpriests were sprinkled after the sacrifices. What is the picture for us? It shows that our Lord was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He needed no sprinkling. We need the sprinkling of the shed blood of Christ. We need the sprinkling because we come in to Him. And so it is that we read our text, "The anointing that ye have received of Him abideth in you." And in these texts, we're reminded of the anointing of this high priest of Israel. Aaron was, of course, typical of our high priest. As the Apostle Paul tells us in the 8th chapter of Romans, of Hebrews, "Now of the things that we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the true sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man." And so it is that this anointing was a very common thing in the life of the Hebrews, even as it was with the Egyptians, from whom they had been brought from bondage. And there were several reasons for this anointing with the Israelites, in addition to the tabernacle arrangement. They anointed the sick. Read in Revelation 3:18. The dead were anointed. Mark 14:8 mentions that. And then we know, of course, the prophets and the priests were anointed, and also the kings. Remember, King David was anointed. Saul was anointed. Inanimate objects were anointed. And this custom of a king or a priest being anointed was the confirmation of his office. That here he was now the priest. No one could deny that he was the high priest of Israel. He had been anointed for this sanctification purpose. And so it is that this was a signification similar to what we might have today in the crowning of kings. They put a crown on the head. Indicates there is the king or the queen, as the case may be. And so it is that this was a ceremony that it appears was not repeated every time, but it was only once in the original, to the original high priest. So long as that order of descent remained undisturbed, he was the high priest. And so it is that in the anointing of Aaron, we have this solemn ceremony by which the high priest was consecrated and inaugurated into his office. In this expression, the anointing of the Spirit, we have brought to our attention a very important aspect in the life of the new creation, aspect of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives to those who would compose the body members of Christ. Now, the begetting of the Holy Spirit and the anointing are different things in the life of a Christian, although they result in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The begetting of the Holy Spirit is an individual work for you and me, individually. Whereas the anointing indicates our relationship that we have in the anointed body. And so it is that John tells us the anointing that ye have received of him, because you've come into Christ, abideth in you. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, we read in the first verse, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of God. And in the 4th verse, whosoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And what an important word this faith is. Faith to believe in the only begotten Son of God. Faith to believe in his atonement work and the purpose for him coming to earth to die. Not only for us, but for all mankind. Yes, do we believe? We, of all people, have that belief, and we can understand why our Lord came and died, that he might give life to the world of mankind, blessing of all the families of the earth. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:15, we read that he that is begotten is through the gospel. We're begotten because of this word of truth. All men have not faith to believe. It's in the word of truth. And so the Lord draws us through an understanding of his word of truth. And as we're drawn, we grow and develop more and more into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To be of the anointed body of Christ, the church, and we all know what the word church means, not just a building, it's those who have been called out from the world, called out for a special purpose to sanctification, being set apart for this work, of proclaiming the gospel. We'll get to that in just a moment. But it's a privilege to come into this relationship with God through Christ. And it's through his word that we learn of the righteousness and the privilege of consecration. Needless to say that those who do not see this privilege will never receive of the anointing. They will never come into this body. It's just as with the high priest of Israel. We have received this anointing and the begetting for a special purpose. According to the scriptures, it's for our sanctification. It's being set apart. As Aaron was anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, typically speaking, so those who are anointed come into this body. It's, again, the divine recognition that they have been called to be kings and priests unto God, to be God's agents in the world, to proclaim the blessings that will eventually come to mankind in due time. It's interesting to note that our Lord Jesus, you might say, was not always a Christian. Hard, peculiar statement. But what does the word Christ mean? It means the anointed, doesn't it? The Greek word Christos, anointed in English. And it wasn't until our Lord Jesus came to John at Jordan when he said, Father, I delight to do thy will. And there John immersed him into the water. And as he rose up out of the water, what did John see? He saw this dove descending, in the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. And there our Lord became Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the Christ. And so it is that unless we go through this same condition of heart, of saying, Lord, I delight to do thy will, unless we dedicate and consecrate our lives to the doing of the Heavenly Father's will, we too will never come into this or under this anointing, into this Christ body. And so it is that those who go through this step of consecration become true Christians, not in name only. We have many nominal Christians, so to speak. But the true Christians are those who have received of the anointing of God. In Luke, the 4th chapter, near the beginning of his ministry, Jesus stood up and read from a prophecy of Isaiah 61. It was concerning the anointing of the Spirit. In Luke, the 4th chapter, in the 16th verse, it says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. He had been anointed to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord. These were things that our Lord had been anointed to do. And what a wonderful privilege it was. And so, having come into this same relationship, we too are anointed for the same purpose. Peter recognized our Lord's anointing when he said in Acts 10:38, God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And from the beginning of his ministry, he was faithful to this service for which he had been anointed. Peter said that he went about doing good. And we know what good he did. He opened the blind eyes. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He knew that he had been authorized to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. All these things, and this he did faithfully, even unto death. Right to the end of his ministry. What an example for us. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit of truth which came upon Jesus reaches even to the members of the body. The ability to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom may vary. We may have different ways in which we can preach the gospel. But each one is to be faithful and zealous to the work that we have been committed to do. That all are members of the body suggests that we need to have cooperation one with the other. There can be no disunity of the body. We have to work together. And so as we work together, it's even as Paul tells us, it's all like parts of the body. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning the 12th verse, remember he says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the anointed. So also is Christ." For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then going down to the 18th verse, he says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleaseth him." And in verse 27 he says, "Now ye are the body of the anointed." You're the body of Christ, and members in particular. And I like that word "particular" as we read it in the Diaglot. You are all participating members in the body of the anointed. And then in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, reading from the 21st verse, he says, "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ," or in the anointed, "and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." When Jesus promised his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit, he said that it would teach them all things. In other words, he was saying that this Holy Spirit would be an efficient aid in getting knowledge of the Word of God. And so it was, and we read in 1 John 2:20, "But ye have an unction." And that word unction is also anointing. "Ye have an anointing from the Holy One, whereby ye know all things. I have not written with you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie or no falsehood is of the truth. But who is..." I like the word instead of liar. Look this up in the Strong. "He who is false, but he that is denieth that Jesus is the Christ." And so it is that we, being in Christ, have this privilege of understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit of God miraculously revealed to Jesus an understanding of those truths that were previously written, as he says, in the volume of the book. And this same miraculous power was poured out upon the waiting disciples there at Pentecost. And it was through the ministry of Jesus and the apostles through the New Testament and the Old Testament, that the remainder of the body receive the essential truths of the divine plan. Thus it is that this anointing of the Holy Spirit and all that it implies is for the instruction of the church as a whole, and is spelled out to us where? It's in the Word of God. And so how important it is for us to have a "thus saith the Lord" for what we believe. And having a "thus saith the Lord," we can prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we search the scriptures, we're to be as the Bereans of old. And how were the Bereans? They weren't like the brethren over in Thessalonica. They were all brethren. But they searched the scriptures daily to prove whether these things be true. And as we endeavor to do these things, and as Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read from Isaiah 61, it's the same things that we are to do if we follow in his steps, if we are in the body of the anointed, the body of Christ. And as our Lord said, "I am the light of the world," he said, "Ye are the light of the world. And let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your heavenly Father." Glorify him daily. Then also he said, "Let your light so shine." These, we might say, are anointing texts in the Bible. They're put in there by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to encourage us as body members to proclaim the truth and to do it faithfully. There are many anointing scriptures that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. I like one in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in the anointed, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ." Yes, we have been sprinkled because of his sacrifice. That's why we were able to come into the body, because of this sprinkling. And so he says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." We have a share in that ministry of reconciling the world. And he goes on to say that we do. That is, that God was, by or through Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look up this little word, "word," in the Greek, and it isn't logos, but it means he's given to us the matter or the work of reconciliation. And how? We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did invite you. He says, "We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And then also in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, another beautiful anointing text. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth forth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, and together, as a body, as members of the anointed, the watchmen lift up the voice, and with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returns to Zion. What a beautiful text that is for us to remember, that we're to preach that the Lord has returned. The Lord has returned to Zion, the Zion class, to you and to me. And then in Psalms 145, another beautiful anointing text, 145, 10 through 12. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we are able to do? Talk about the kingdom, the restitution of all things. Who of all people in the world can do this except those who are of the anointed class? Those who have been begotten of the Holy Spirit to see these things. You've been begotten through the gospel. You know these things. We have to tell them out among the people that the Lord is King. Yes, and who is doing this? It's all of those who are working together. In Hebrews, the first chapter, the ninth verse, we're told that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Now this oil, of course, as we've mentioned, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And it's the position of the honor and the service above all the principalities and the powers and every name that was named. But it says he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You look up this word above and it means more than. He received the Holy Spirit without measure. And so it is that we too receive the Holy Spirit. Is it just a little bit at a time? It is as much as we will be able to absorb. And so this same anointing carries over, this work of the anointed class carries over to the church in glory. And when together they will reign as kings and priests for the blessing of the world of mankind with peace and with joy through the agencies of the kingdom, they'll no longer need to preach the kingdom because the kingdom will have been established. And what a blessed privilege it is for us to proclaim. Yes, proclaiming the highway of holiness for all mankind. Returning to this little verse in Psalms 133, there are different thoughts about this oil, this anointing oil that ran down to the skirt of his garment. So often we think that the skirt of the garment is down at the hem, down at the ground level. Hem is a different word in the scripture. You look up this word skirt and it means the whole of the habergon. I'm sure that everybody here knows what a habergon is. A habergon was a piece of armor that's set upon the shoulders. And the whole of this habergon was at the collar. And so it is that in Job we read that it was the collar. The oil ran down to the collar. And so it is that as the apostle is telling us, it's this anointing of the high priest. We only come in under the anointing. The anointing that ye have received of him abides in you. And no wonder it is that the apostle said that the oil which Jesus was anointed to was this high position of glory, honor, and immortality. But it was the same oil of gladness which you and I also received. He received it more than the body members. The body members also receive it. And so it will be gladness for us also, joy unspeakable, we might say, as we participate with our Lord in both the present and the future work for which we have been anointed to do. It's a glorious prospect. And may we each one be faithful to our covenant of sacrifice, faithful for that for which we have been set apart to do, and faithful to that anointing which has been given to each of us as members of the body of Christ. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Burton, for those thoughts on the anointing which ye have received.
Our most righteous and gracious, blessed Heavenly Father, as we humbly and gratefully bow our heads and our hearts before thy throne of grace this time, we thank thee for the Holy Spirit that has enlightened our hearts and our minds that we may know something concerning thee and thy wonderful plans and purposes. We thank thee for the privilege that we have of consecration, of laying down our lives in the doing of thy service and following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. We pray that as we endeavor to do those things faithfully each day, that we may be found worthy of a share in thy kingdom. And we thank thee also for the blessings that we have of meeting together with those of like precious faith. We pray that thou wilt continue to pour out more of thy Holy Spirit upon us, and may we be pleasing to thee in the things that we do and say, and forgive us when we come so far short of doing thy holy will. And we do pray not only for ourselves here gathered, but for our brethren the world over, those who are endeavoring to serve thee in spirit and in truth everywhere. And for the world, we do pray thy kingdom to soon come, and to thy will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And these blessings we now ask, not in any merit of our own, but in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.